This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London, Nick. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
Plenty going on in both the markets and elsewhere. Let's start with those comments yesterday, I think it was, from Jerome Powell. A little bit more hawkish about the economy. He's saying the Fed should stay patient and wait to see how tariffs and other economic policies of the Trump administration play out before making any changes to interest rates. He's had some criticism from President Trump today, who has said he's got to cut rates soon. He's come up with the nickname Too Late Jerome Powell, which doesn't have quite the ring to it as some of the other nicknames he's had. But obviously, there's going to be a bit of a hoo-ha between Powell and Trump at the moment because both sides are under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, Johnny, I think we may need to go back to the drawing board on that nickname. I think there's probably worse things you could come up with. Just doesn't quite have a ring to it. That being said, in all seriousness, yeah, Jerome Powell had plenty to say yesterday, basically setting it up and saying that, you know, we're in a bit of a predicament, right? These are some of the biggest changes to global trade that we have seen in U.S. history and at a dramatic rate. Yeah, the market was, I suppose, a little bit wobbly yesterday. NASDAQ was down 4% at one point, which is crazy because when you look at the NASDAQ daily chart, it doesn't look all that disastrous. But that's just because we've been living in such volatile times that 4% down moves in a day are almost kind of the new norm. We're getting big moves up, big moves down. Volatility is very high. So yeah, no, I think Powell basically discussing that they're on a wait and see kind of basis, that these tariffs are significant changes and that it's very, very difficult even for them to try to predict their impact. And so the market did not like that lack of clarity. But again, who can fault Powell and team for such difficult time to try and predict what's going to come next? I think Powell has vivid memory here, flashbacks from 2020, where he really leaned into almost a predictive call on the 2020 transitory inflation stuff that he then had to clean up the mess of later. So I think there is this cautious tone that the Fed is taking, trying not to jump the gun and say, you know, hey, if we cut interest rates too dramatically, too quickly, and these tariffs do not cause dramatic economic turmoil, we could be stuck with really sticky inflation and we could basically open up Pandora's box again with inflation, right? We're just now getting to a point where CPI year over year came down to 2.4% as of the previous reported number. I mean, that's getting closer to 2%. We don't want to see that number start to reverse course and start to move higher again. So the Fed is weighing the risks, and I think that they are very still much focused on their dual mandate, right? So they're watching unemployment and inflation, and according to their team there, the main focus is going to be whichever one seems to be moving further away from their target, right? They don't want to lose the employment story. We have seen a moderate tick higher in unemployment in the last several months, but that's not disastrous. But at the same time, inflation still has room to come down. There's still work to be done on the inflation number as well. I don't fault the Fed personally. I don't think there's much you can do to really try and make a big call because you are making a very large gamble if you think about it, right? If you're going to say, let's go ahead and try and get ahead of this potential unemployment rise, right? You're making a career call. And I don't know that Powell wants to make that kind of career call with just a year or so before he's potentially out of his chair. So I think they've got a very difficult job. Inflation, they've got a good record of the last few years of getting inflation at least back down a little bit. Maybe not a great one from the 2020 transitory call, but all said and done, we've got a potential opportunity here for what looks to be maybe a soft landing, still potentially accessible. But to make a big call on the tariff stuff, I think is a high risk that the Fed may not be willing to do.
And reaction to those comments from Jay Powell yesterday, stocks did take a bit of a tumble. And we've seen, as I mentioned earlier on, Donald Trump almost lashing out at the Fed chair after he refused to cut rates. And he's actually urged him to be fired. He says, this is Donald Trump, oil prices are down, groceries, even eggs are down, and the USA is getting capital letters rich on tariffs. Too late, as he's called him, should have lowered interest rates like the ECB long ago. Now, talking of the ECB, we've had another rate cut. It was expected from the European Central Bank today. Those rates look very low, particularly in comparison to what we have here in the UK. Another quarter point cut today.
Yeah, down to 2.4%. That's definitely to what Trump is mentioning. They've been on a streak of overall reducing interest rates, still moving ahead with that. But you also have to kind of compare and contrast here. Europe does not have as much growth, which is, I guess, potentially up for debate going forward. But in recent years, right, it's a clear favorite. The U.S. has had a lot of growth. There's a lot of, you know, the labor market's still very overall looking backwards, acknowledging that we're doing so. It's been a strong labor market for the most part. You know, the ECB cutting interest rates, their scenario is slightly different. I don't know that it's completely fair to just say, yeah, we should be doing the same as the ECB. Well, you have to look at an economy holistically and evaluate independently. Though these central banks do keep contact with one another and they work together, right? The ECB, the Fed, Bank of Canada, all those, they work together to a degree. They are all unique individual economies, and the scenarios are different for each of them, right? So, you know, the European Union might not be dealing with the same things. I mean, granted, look at the trade war that seems to be unfolding in front of us, the US and China. And there's this whole thing, Johnny, we could spend 20 minutes talking on if we wanted to, just about how now it seems like it's almost like China and the US are both saying to the rest of the world, hey, pick a side. You know, are you in on our team, or are you, you know, switching sides? So it's a very difficult time. And also, I think it's important that you look at a specific economy inclusively when talking about whether or not interest rates should be cut or held or raised, et cetera.
Meanwhile, switching back to your side of the pond again, Nick, we've had the latest unemployment numbers, which have come in better than expected.
Yeah, we had claims come out this week. Of course, this is the weekly jobless claim number, and it came in at 215,000 compared to the forecast at 225,000. For listeners, let's just think about that intuitively for a second. If we have less people filing for unemployment, that would be perceived as a positive for the U.S. economy, for the labor market, and for the U.S. dollar. Hence why I think we're seeing gold pull back here a little bit, Johnny.
Yeah, and that's after we saw gold jump to a fresh new high earlier today because of investors worried about the impact of the trade war between the USA and China. But now gold seems to be one of the few safe havens around. It's not the dollar anymore. It's just purely gold.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up too, Johnny, because in the investing, trading world, one of the big things going on right now is scrutiny over stability in U.S. bonds too, right? So you have all of this uncertainty, as you mentioned, about the trade war, but also uncertainty in the USA's, you know, reliability score, which, you know, whether I agree with that or disagree with that, the market itself seems to be debating it. And we can see that in the price of gold, right? Price of gold shooting up like this just goes to show you that people are seeking safe havens, and perhaps where bonds have been less attractive to some investors, maybe that money is getting funneled over to gold instead as an alternative, as a safe haven, as something that's not so US denominated.
Excellent stuff, Nick. Thank you very much and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.